John chapter 19, verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Talking about John now, standing next to Mary. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Jesus, hanging on the cross, dying, looks over at his mother and sees her there. He sees her tears. Her heart is broken. Can we even begin to imagine what she was going through, watching her son die? I believe she had a good idea of what was going on. And so here she is, she's watching him die, but not only just die, but she's watching him die for others and because of others. He wasn't dying because he was a criminal. He wasn't dying because he was a bad man. He was dying because we were criminals and we were the bad men. And he was dying for us, and his mother, Mary, watched. Amen. Well, here he is as he's bearing the weight and responsibility of the sin of the world. While he did that, under that kind of pressure, in that kind of pain, he still recognized his mama and wanted to make sure she was taken care of. I think that's a great lesson for us today. I think that's something that every one of us can learn from Jesus. Amen? That we need to take care of our mothers. Amen. If your mom's still alive, give her her roses while she's living. Amen. If she's gone on, honor her memory by being careful how you live and how you act. First thing that we can do out of the seven, I'm going to mention here, there's other things, but out of the seven, the first thing we can do is we can love her verbally with our mouth. We can let her know that we love her. We can say, Mom, I love you. Too many times we don't say that, especially men. Men and guys, we're the world's worst at not being able to say or not saying enough how much we love our mothers. We'll say stuff like, I don't have to say I love you. You already know that. I've told you that before. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. Yeah, men said that, you know. I show you love. I don't just have to say it. There's different ways people will say stuff. But the bottom line is, your mother wants to hear you say, I love you. Yeah, we're to show them. And yeah, we're to live that life that they ought to be able to tell that we love them. But we ought to be man enough to say, I love you. I thank you. I thank you for putting up with me. I thank you for getting me through some tough times. There was a guy who wrote to Dear Abby years ago. I enlisted shortly after Pearl Harbor. 36 days later, I was on my way to the Philippines. En route to the Philippines island, fell to the Japanese, and we were routed to Australia. 11 days after we landed, I met the most beautiful girl in the world. On our first date, I told her I was going to marry her. I did. 18 months later, while on a 10-day R&R in New Guinea, I married her. After more than 57 years of marriage and two children, my beloved Mary died 5 days before Christmas. Although we agreed that our ashes were to be scattered over the mountains, I found I could not part with hers. While Mary was alive, she would frequently say, You don't know how much I love you. I would reply, Likewise. I never said, I love you. Now her ashes are on my dresser, where I tell her several times a day how much I love her.
but it's too late.
Although I wrote poetry to her, I could not bring myself to say the three little words I knew she wanted most to hear. As my dearest was dying and we thought she was comatose, I told her, "There aren't enough words to tell you how much I love you." A few hours later, she whispered, "Not enough words," and died. The reason I am writing is to urge men to express their feelings while their loved ones are alive. I don't know why, but many men are reluctant to express the depth of their feelings. And he signs it, "Missing Mary in Colorado." Our spouses need to hear from us, gentlemen. They need to hear us say, "I love you." Our children need to hear us say, "I love you." Our family needs to know without a shadow of a doubt that we care, not only in our actions, but also in our words. So we can love Mama verbally, amen? We can also love her physically. When's the last time that you gave her a hug? When's the last time you hugged your wife? Or when's the last time you hugged your mom? We can love her physically. You know, when we were born, here she has. She's carried us all that time. She was careful what she ate, what she done, how she moved to not bother us because she's taking care of us. When we're born, she's the first one that really loves us, that has a hold of us. Yeah, I know the doctor may have pulled us out and he may have smacked us on the hind end or something like that. But the first one that ever touched you that really loved you was your mama. It didn't matter how ugly you was and how cone-shaped your head was, how smelly and greasy and slimy and wet and how bad you screamed. She took you and she held you. She cried. She kissed you. And from that day on, Mama held you, changed your nasty diapers. Back in the day, she had to wash them diapers, wash that goo out of there. These days, they just wrap them up and throw them in the trash. But Mama done that because she loved you. Careful at how she fed you and what she gave you. And she cleaned up, you puked, and you puked on her all the time. Spit up everywhere. She'd try to burp you. You'd lose your supper. On and on. When you were little, she'd say, "Give Mama sugar." And you'd pucker up your spaghetti lips and you'd smack one on her. Give her a big slobbery kiss. And she'd say, "Give me a hug." And you'd put a death grip on her and hang on to her so tight she could walk around and you just hang there. And now she has to ask you to hug her. We ought to hug Mom without being asked. Amen. We ought to hug them. We ought to hug our wives, gentlemen, without having to be told to or without her wishing that we would. I don't know what was the deal, but it seemed like for years we've thought that to be a man, we couldn't show those kind of emotions. We weren't supposed to hug our children or hug our wife. We weren't supposed to say, "I love you." We're supposed to set this example of being strong and stern, tough, unmovable. Well, it's good to be strong. It's good to be stern. It's good to be tough. It's good to be unmovable. But it's wrong to not love our wives and our mothers. Amen. It's wrong to deprive them of one of the great blessings that they so desire to have of us. And basically, it costs us nothing except just a little effort. I think surely we can afford that, can't we? Well, we can love them verbally, we can love them physically, we can also love them patiently. My mom sure had a lot of patience with me. Mothers have an incredible job with no pay. No position in the business world today compares to the physical, emotional, and spiritual commitment that a mother has. No job description in the corporate world carries the responsibility that moms do. Let me read you a poem. It's called "No Occupation." You know, years ago, the census folk would come around, you know, and they would ask you questions. And then, so if you was a stay-home mom, they would write down, "No occupation." That's an insult, isn't it? She rises up at break of day. Through her tasks, she races. She cooks the meals as best she may and scrubs the children's faces. While school books, lunches, homework too, all need consideration, and yet the census man insists she has no occupation. When breakfast dishes all are done, she bakes a pudding, maybe. She cleans the rooms up one by one, with one eye watching baby. The mending pile she then attacks by way of variation, and yet the census man insists she has no occupation. She irons for a little while, then presses pants for daddy. She welcomes with a cheering smile, returning lass and laddie. Her hearty dinner next she cooks, no time for relaxation. And yet the census man insists she has no occupation. Don't make the mistake of ever thinking that a stay-home mom has no occupation. What about your wife? Ah, she don't work. That's an insult, man. I've probably said that, but I didn't realize what I was saying, I can tell you. After Sherry and I had been married, you know, for, I don't know, maybe 3 years or so, we had our first boy, Weston. And there come that point, finally, when she was going to need to go get groceries or do something, and Weston was big enough I could take care of him for a little while, and I'd have her change his diaper before she left because I wasn't going to change it till she got back. And so I'd take care of him, you know, and she'd go do her business. I'm telling you, man, I could not wait for her to get home. I mean, it wouldn't be no time. He's crying. Something's wrong. I'm giving him the bottle. I'm sticking oats in his mouth. I'm doing stuff, trying to help him. I couldn't figure, man, it was nerve-wracking. Then we had another baby, Jared. Whew. That's a whole nother world, man. Still is. So now here both of them are up, and Weston's up running around, and Jared was running by the time he was he 9 months old running around? By 11 months, he could run hard. And then another one comes along. And there would be those days she would go get groceries and do things, and I would have all those kids, and I've got diapers I'm trying to change and feeding and taking care of and messes, and it is a major job that mothers have. It is a major job that mothers have. Amen. We want to honor our mothers today. We appreciate you, sisters. We appreciate your love and your mercy and your patience with us. Mr. Dotson, on his radio deal, received a letter from an 80-year-old mother. And this was what she wanted for her birthday. To all my children, I suppose my upcoming birthday started my thoughts along these lines. This is a good time to tell you that what I truly want are things I can never yet have enough of, yet they are free. I want the intangible. I would like for you to come and sit with me and for you to be relaxed while sitting there. We can talk. Or we can be silent. I would just like for us to be together. I need your patience when I don't hear what you're saying the first time. I know how tiresome it is to always have to repeat yourself, but sometimes I must ask you to repeat. I need your patience when I think too much about the past. I want you to be tolerant with what the years have done to me physically. Please be understanding about my personal care habits. I spill things. I lose things. I get unduly excited when I'm trying to figure out my bank statements. I can't remember what time to take my medicine or if I took it already. I take too many naps. Sometimes sleep just helps pass the day. Well, there you have it. Time, patience, and understanding. Those are priceless gifts that I want. Finally, the Apostle Paul wrote, and this is the lady in her letter, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. And the mother says, I know I can too. It's a wonderful feeling to know his eyes is on the sparrow. And I know he cares for me. I guess being old isn't so bad after all. Love, mother. It's amazing how the simple things mean so much to the ones that we care for. Amen. The next thing we could do is we can love her attentively. Mothers, listen as we pour out our hearts. How many times have you run to your mom because something was bothering you and you wanted to talk to her? Seems like we go to moms more than we do dad. Sometimes that aggravates me a little bit because I want my boys to come to me, but they feel more comfortable going to mom. She's a little easier going, a little less impatient than us fathers can be sometimes. Mothers listen as we pour out our heart. And even as an adult, we've went many times to hear what she has to say concerning our problems. There was a documentary some time ago done about men being on death row and waiting for that final execution. They interviewed the men and their mothers too. Inevitably, the moms would say, "He's such a good boy." The interviewer said at one point, "Yes, but he slaughtered 37 people with an axe." "I know, but he has a good heart." Only a mama could think that, huh? It's amazing how much mom sees past all the outward mess-ups and sees what's really there. She sees the potential. It's a lot like Christ, isn't it? Willing to look beyond our faults and see our needs and see our potential of what he could do with us if we would only surrender to him. It's no wonder we like to talk to mom because she's a good listener. We then need to slow down and be willing to listen to her. We can also love her gratefully. I like this. There was an elementary science class had been studying magnets and how metal objects are attracted to them. At the end of the semester, the teacher put on the exam this question. 6 letters starting with M and picks up things. What am I? Over half of the children wrote, "Mothers." Yeah, that's a true. Amen. Man, oh man. How many times has mom picked up our stuff? Over and over and over, she picks up after her children. Yeah, we can be grateful to her. We can thank her for picking up our stuff, and we can thank her also by picking up some of it ourselves. And we can also be grateful to mama on a regular basis. Moms have always been generous. They've always gave of their time, their effort, their energy. And if they've had a little money and you needed it, they stuck that in your pocket. That's because they love you. And they're not afraid to give because they invest into your lives constantly. They have before you was even born. Therefore, surely we can be generous with mother. Amen? Yeah. We're to love our mother. Amen. We can honor her with our love. I conclude with this. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." If the husband is the head of the home, then the mother is the heartbeat of that home. We should honor our mother. Let me read you this. When God created mothers, when the good Lord created mothers, he was into his 6th day of overtime when an angel appeared and said, "You're doing a lot of fiddling around on this one." The Lord replied, "Have you seen the specs on this model? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 180 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointing love affair. And have 6 pairs of hands." The angel shook his head and slowly said, "6 pairs of hands? No way." "It's not the hands that are causing me problems," said the Lord. "It's the 3 pair of eyes that mothers have to have. 1 pair that sees through the doors when she asks, 'What are you kids doing in there?' when she already knows. Another pair that are on the back of her head that sees what's happening behind her that she shouldn't see, but that she needs to see. And of course, the other pair that looks at the child when it makes a mistake and goofs up and says with the eyes alone, I understand, I love you, without ever saying a word. I'm so close to creating something like myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she is sick and can feed a family of six on 1 pound of hamburger and get a 9-year-old to stand under a shower. Not only can she think, she can reason and compromise. Finally, the angel bent over and ran his finger across the cheek of the mother. The angel says, there's a leak. I told you that you were trying to put too much into this model. The Lord said, that's not a leak. It's a tear. The angel says, what is it for? The Lord replied, it's for joy and sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride. The angel said, you're a genius. And with a somber look on his face, the Lord said, I didn't put it there. Well, we know that God loves mothers. Jesus loved his mother. And this morning, mothers, we applaud you. We love you this morning. Let's give mothers a hand. Lord, this morning, we just thank you so much for giving us a mother. We thank you, Lord, for the good memories. We thank you, Lord, for the patience that you've given her for us, for the loving kindness, for all the ways that she's helped us and trained us and taught us, for the compassion that she's shown. Lord, we thank you for her this morning. We ask you, Lord, to bless every mother that is here. Bless them and encourage them and help them, Lord. Our precious mothers in the Lord that are here in this church, Lord, that love our young people, that teach our young people, that care for every one of us. Lord, we thank you for these precious ladies, all of these mothers, Lord. We bless your holy name for them today, and we ask you to bless them, to encourage them, and today help us to express ourselves to our mothers and let them know how much we care for them. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.